Wondering if we could open our Bibles to Psalm 8 for a moment. Thoughts that have been going through my mind probably for many years, but certainly in recent days, in light of the fact that I shared some verses in a Bible class out of the book of Jeremiah, Jeremiah 31. Is the idea that we are, in the first hand, we are known by God. And secondly, that God wants us to know Him. And so as we break bread today, the idea would be is that we would realize that we are known by the Lord. In some ways that can be a comfort, in some ways that can be a little frightening. Because there are things that we know about ourselves that we're not really consoled by. Some of that knowledge is painful. But God knows that. And we should find comfort in that. But then to recognize that God wants us to know Him. He wants us to know Him as intimately as we possibly can by faith. So in Psalm 8, David is experiencing that kind of realization. And the realization is this, is that although you know me, you actually want me to have dominion. You want me to co-rule. So as we read the psalm, I want you to ponder that first of all, the Lord has invited you to be here. Of course, he commands us to come and break bread, to remember what he's done, but it's also by invitation. In other words, he wants you to come willingly. He wants you to come anticipating meeting with him. Of course, we can do that daily and should do that daily as we pray, as we meditate upon God's word. But there's this sense in which when we do it together, we begin to realize that we're part of something that's way bigger than us. Way bigger than me. It's global. But it's not simply global in this generation. It's global throughout this present age. That people have always been known by God. And that God has invited every human being to know Him. Psalm 8. O Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. You have set your glory above the heavens. From the lips of children and infants, you have ordained praise. Because of your enemies, to silence the foe and the avenger. When I consider your heavens, the work of your fingers, and the moon, the stars, which you have set in place, what is man that you are mindful of him, the son of man that you care for him? You made him a little lower than the heavenly beings, and you crowned him with glory and honor. You made him ruler over the works of your hands and put everything under his feet, all flocks and herds and beasts of the field, the birds of the air and the fish of the sea, and all that swim the paths of the seas. O Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. Turn with me now to Jeremiah 31. Jeremiah and Daniel were not contemporaries. They didn't know each other. That doesn't mean that Jeremiah didn't know about David. Of course he did. He knew that David was God's chosen king, God's chosen man to bring an illustrious kingdom. But Jeremiah is being given a peek into the future. A time when every human being who has placed their trust in the Lord will know the Lord fully. Today we, as Paul says in 1 Corinthians 13, we see partially and we have partial knowledge. But when we see him and we see him face to face, we will know fully as we are known. Verse 33, Jeremiah 31, verse 33, and then we'll just commit our time here to the Lord, and then I'll invite others to come and share. God wanted to have the nation of Israel be a light to the rest of the nations of the world. They failed, and consequently, in 586 BC, while Jeremiah is witnessing the downfall and the destruction of Jerusalem, and he's completely devastated. He can't even imagine that there's a future. And so God, not simply wanting to encourage Jeremiah, but all those who would listen, says, "This is the covenant I will make with the house of Israel after that time." After what time? After they've broken my covenant and I've had to basically remove them from my sight, I'm going to bring them back, in essence, and I'm going to restore them, he says. "I'll put my law in their minds and write it on their hearts, and I will be their God, and they will be my people. No longer will a man teach his neighbor or a man his brother, saying, 'Know the Lord.'" Those admonitions that we have here today and encouraging you to get to know God more intimately in a future day during the thousand-year reign of Christ when the church will co-rule with Christ. No longer will we have partial knowledge, but we'll have full knowledge. Or let's put it this way, the knowledge that God wants us to have in terms of knowing him intimately. It says, "You won't be doing that, admonishing people to know the Lord, because they will all know me, from the least of them to the greatest, declares the Lord. For I will forgive their wickedness and will remember their sins no more." And so today we are here in the presence of that promise to not remember our sins. God knows us. He understands us. As I said, in some ways that's comforting, in some ways it's frightening, because we know that there are times when we deserve a spanking, so to speak. And yet God is merciful and God is forgiving. And yes, there are times when he does actually discipline us. And so today we come before his table and we humble ourselves and say, "Lord, thank you that you know me. And thank you that you invite me to know you." We'll look at a few more passages. And 1 Corinthians 2 is a key text here this morning. Let's pray together. Lord, what a delight to be with brothers and sisters in Christ who love you, who've come to worship. We've already been doing that in song and the reading of your word. We've been already involved in Sunday school and the Adult Bible Fellowship, where we've been just learning to appreciate your great love for us. And as we have read here already this morning, as we consider the glory and the manifestation of who you are and all that you have done, and yet knowing something about ourselves and our sinfulness and our fallibility, you still invite us to fellowship with you and to co-rule with you. And so we're humbled by that. And so we pray that today that our hearts and our minds would be open. Open to hearing, open to understanding. In fact, being curious to get to know you and to appreciate, although we're imperfect, you love us so much. And so bless our time together, and thank you that you've invited us around your table. to partake, to have fellowship with you. Thank you that we can do that together. In Jesus' name, amen. Just want to invite others to come and share from the word this time.
I'd like to read a passage from Psalm 16. David is talking about his relationship with the Lord, and let's read the passage. Keep me safe, my God, for in you I take refuge. I say to the Lord, you are my Lord. Apart from you, I have no good thing. I say of the holy people who are in the land, they are the noble ones in whom is all my delight. Those who run after other gods will suffer more and more. I will not pour out libations of blood to such gods or take up their names on my lips. Lord, you alone are my portion and my cup. You make my lot secure. The boundary lines have fallen for me in pleasant places, and surely I have a delightful inheritance. I will praise the Lord who counsels me. Even at night my heart instructs me. I keep my eyes always on the Lord, and with him at my right hand I will not be shaken. Therefore my heart is glad and my tongue rejoices. My body also will rest secure, because you will not abandon me to the realm of the dead, nor will you let your faithful one see decay. You make known to me the path of life, and you will fill me with joy in your presence, with eternal pleasures at your right hand. I like that David is reflecting on his relationship with the Lord and the fact that he recognizes that the Lord is the one he can trust. The Lord is the one who gives him what he has, and that what he has is great because God has given it to him. And recognizing that the Lord wants to give him good things. The Lord is very generous to him, and that the things that he is giving to him are things that are things of eternal value, he says in verse 11. And verse 7 and 8, he says, I'll praise the Lord who counsels me. Even at night, my heart instructs me. And I will keep my eyes always on the Lord. And then in verse 11, he says, you make known to me the path of life, and you will fill me with joy in your presence. Just the thought that the Lord has given us his word. He's given us the direction that we need to live the life that he wants for us. And all here right for us, and it's a great thing. Let's just pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the example that David has given to us here in putting these thoughts down, and thank you for the relationship that he had with you, and Lord, that we can see that you loved him and that you love us the same. Lord, we thank you that you want us to follow you and walk in your ways, Lord. We pray that you would enable us to do that. Lord, we thank you also that he recognized that those that are walking with you, he was encouraged by them, and he saw that they were your people. And Lord, we thank you that we can be here together and we can encourage each other as we look into your word. I just pray these things in your name.
Turn your Bibles to John chapter 5. I'll read verses 16 to 24. For this reason, the Jews persecuted Jesus and sought to kill him because he had done these things on the Sabbath. But Jesus answered them, "My Father has been working until now, and I have been working. Therefore the Jews sought all the more to kill him, because he not only broke the Sabbath, but also said that God was his Father, making himself equal with God. Then Jesus answered and said to them, "Most assuredly I say to you, the Son can do nothing of himself, but what he sees the Father do. For whatever he does, the Son also does in like manner. For the Father loves the Son and shows him all things that he himself does. And he will show him greater works than these, that you may marvel. For as the Father raises the dead and gives life to them, even so the Son gives life to whom he will. For the Father judges no one, but has committed all judgment to the Son, that all should honor the Son just as they honor the Father. He who does not honor the Son does not honor the Father who sent him. Most assuredly, I say to you, he who hears my word and believes in him who sent me has everlasting life and shall not come into judgment, but has passed from death into life." Let's pray. Thank you, Heavenly Father, for your word that you preserved for us, and just the words of life that are in here. And we want to thank you for your awesome sacrifice to free us from all our sins. Thank you for the comforting words. Just as we read here, if we believe in you, we have eternal life, and we have crossed over from death into life. Thank you for being faithful to us always, even when we are not always faithful. Thank you that we can rest assured on your promises. And just want to thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Turn your Bibles to Romans chapter 7, Romans chapter 8. And we'll be looking at verse 31. "What then shall we say in response to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? Who did not spare his own Son, but give him up for us all? How will he not also, along with him, graciously give us all things? Who will bring any charge against those whom God has chosen? It is God who justifies. Who then is the one who condemns? No one. Christ Jesus, who died, more than that, who was raised to life, is at the right hand of God, and is also interceding for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall trouble, or hardship, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or danger, or sword? As it is written, 'For your sake we face death all day long, and we are considered sheep to be slaughtered.' No, in all things we are more than conquerors, through him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor demons, nor neither the present nor the future, nor any power, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God, and that is Christ Jesus our Lord." Let's pray. Our gracious Heavenly Father, we just thank you, Lord, for your great love and how you paid the ultimate sacrifice and laid down your life for us that we can be free. And I pray, Lord, that today as we take communion that we would remember everything that you've done for us. Thank you, Lord, that nothing can separate us from your love, and that we are more than conquerors, and that you have defeated everything so that we could have new life. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
To read from Luke 22. In the ABF, we've been looking at the different views of atonement, how Jesus paid the penalty of our sins, all of our past, present, and future. I was reminded this morning of just the example that Jesus gave us. Let's start at verse 39. "Jesus went out, as usual, to the Mount of Olives, and his disciples followed him. On reaching the place, he said to them, pray that you will not fall into temptation. He withdrew about a stone's throw beyond them, knelt down, and prayed, Father, if you are willing, take this cup from me. Yet not my will, but yours be done. An angel from heaven appeared to him and strengthened him. And being in anguish, he prayed more earnestly, and his sweat was like drops of blood falling to the ground. When he rose from prayer and went back to the disciples, he found them asleep, exhausted from sorrow. Why are you sleeping? He asked them. Get up and pray so that you will not fall into temptation. While he was still speaking, a crowd came up, and the man who was called Judas, one of the 12, was leading them. He approached Jesus to kiss him, but Jesus asked him, Judas, are you betraying the Son of Man with a kiss? When Jesus' followers saw what was going to happen, they said, Lord, should we strike with our swords? And one of them struck the servant of the high priest, cutting off his right ear. But Jesus answered, No more of this. And he touched the man's ear and healed him. Then Jesus said to the chief priests, the officers of the temple guard, and the elders who had come for him, Am I leading a rebellion that you have come with swords and clubs? Every day I was with you in the temple courts, and you did not lay a hand on me, but this is your hour when darkness reigns. There's so much in this passage. First of all, Jesus is fighting the battle in the garden before he even gets arrested. Peter had said in verse 33, but he replied, Lord, I am ready to go with you to prison and to death. And some of the other Gospels tell us that all the disciples agreed to that. But I think Peter was ready to fight for him. We see that in John's Gospel. It tells us that Peter was the one that struck the high priest's servant's ear and cut it off. But was he willing to die with Christ? He got put to the test, and he ran. Jesus said in verse 31, actually verse 32, he says, But I have prayed for you, Simon, that your faith may not fail, and when you have turned back, strengthen your brothers. Jesus had already told Peter that he would run. I asked myself, you know, would I have followed through? Probably not. Jesus didn't have to be arrested. He gave himself willingly. They came out with clubs and swords. Peter was ready to fight. Jesus says, "No more of this." Like, I'm not. He just gave such an example that he wasn't a criminal. He gave himself over. I mean, can you imagine this servant's or this high priest's servant when he had his ear cut off? Must have been. I'm just trying to imagine the scene there. And Jesus stops his disciples from fighting, who are willing to go to battle for him. He stops them and says, "No more of this." This morning we were reminded that we should turn the cheek. We need to personally decide how we will respond. This Malchus, thinking about him, having the creator of the universe, having having God in the flesh here, he healed his ear. He put his ear back on him. Can you imagine that? I just get shivers when I even think, when I try to give thought to what went on there, that his very creator, I mean, they didn't acknowledge him as that, but something must have ran through his mind when his ear was put back on. Like, how dare they even further to touch him, right? He gave such an example of how he had power and authority over all of them. He had won the battle in the garden. This was, when he says at the end of the verse, every day I was with you in the temple courts and you did not lay a hand on me. But this is your hour when darkness reigns. Jesus permitted this to happen. They didn't have to, he wouldn't have had to allow it. He allowed it willingly for you and for me. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you that you're such a great God, that you gave us your Son who came to earth and who lived an example of what we should live like, to give our lives up. Even though he had the power and authority, I mean, he put the servant's ear back on his head. I can't even comprehend that. And yet he allowed the people he created to crucify him. Lord, thank you that you are merciful, that you are gracious. Even on the cross you prayed, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Lord, help us to give thought to what we do. Help us to honor you the way you deserve. You are the King of kings and Lord of lords. You created all things, and you are the architect of this earth, as Eric reminded us that everything actually glorifies you, if we just take time to think about it. So thank you for your great love for us, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
First Corinthians chapter 2. Peter was known by God. Peter began to recognize that he didn't know himself as well as God knows him. In fact, you and I look in the mirror and we'd have to confess that there are times when there are actions or words that we say and we say, where did that come from? I don't know that man in the mirror. The Apostle Paul was seeking to persecute the church and the Lord met him on the road to Damascus. And he had a 180-degree turn in his thinking and in his life. In 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 2, as he went to Corinth and people were hearing, he did not want to get involved in all kinds of Greek philosophy and try to somehow compare himself with other world views. It says, I resolved to know nothing while I was with you except Jesus Christ and him crucified. Put down Philippians chapter 3, verses 10 and following there. Today, as we come to break bread, our desire should be, in the moment while your senses are saying, I can smell the homemade buns at home and I can just taste the butter melting and so on. Why did you do that, Mike? I was fine until you said that. Or the roast is going to, you can anticipate the roast as you're going to enter the door. Some of you are saying, I'm just having a bologna sandwich. You see, our senses, unfortunately, can sometimes detract us from what life is really all about. You're here and it's climatized. We are here with a focus to break bread, but you know that what's churning in your heart and your mind from day to day at times is just something you wish you didn't have to deal with. And you come away with this idea, yes, I want to know the Lord, but Lord, I'm having a hard time getting to know you because I don't even like what I see and what I see in me. And then, of course, what I see in others. In Hebrews chapter 12, the writer to the Hebrews says, let us fix our eyes on Jesus. To fix our eyes on Jesus is to want to get to know him, is to see that although he knew all about us, and as Frank reminded us, we know not what we do, but he certainly knew what he was doing. And I'm glad he knew what he was doing. And I'm glad that Peter did not have full knowledge of what he was doing. And I dare say that we are here and seeking to know him more fully, but yet we confess it's a struggle. Turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 3. The man who loves God is known by him. Is known by God. So, well, God knows every man, but this knowledge here is intimate knowledge. It means that as I seek to love God, God knows and wants that intimacy with me and appreciates that I seek to draw near to him. You know, it's interesting how that marriage is meant to display that. You could say something like this. The man who loves his wife is known by his wife. Meaning that his wife knows him. Knows his heart, knows his understanding, knows his limitations in our case. And of course, God knows our limitations, but God is not intimidated by that. He doesn't withdraw, but rather he continues to pursue us. He seeks to woo us. He's calling each of us to draw nearer to him, to allow us to get to know him because he knows us completely. By the way, that's good news. That's good news. And so as we break bread and we pass the loaf from one to another, we're simply expressing our thanksgiving on the one hand. But we do so also with a full vulnerability of knowing that we don't know ourselves completely and God knows us fully. And in Ephesians chapter 1, it says that we are accepted in the beloved. And so today you are. Again, good news. The old hymn, break thou the bread of life, dear Lord, to me, as you did by the sea. As the disciples broke bread with the Lord, they failed to appreciate all that he was doing. But subsequent to that, they began to understand and they began to teach it. And they began to pour their hearts out in terms of how they missed it. But on the other hand, how the Lord had welcomed them and is welcoming us. And they would want to invite everybody in the midst of their brokenness to come and break bread. We're not coming here perfect. We're simply coming here to confess our need and our thankfulness for having that need met in the Lord Jesus. Let's pray. Lord, we commit our time to you, and as we break bread, pray that you'd be honored and glorified. Thank you for the different thoughts that have been shared here this morning already. May you bless each one in Jesus' name. Amen. Those of you who are helping with communion, please come forward at this time. Now I'll ask one of these men to give thanks for the loaf.
Heavenly Father, I thank you that you gave your Son for us, Lord. We thank you that he was willing and that he was able to pay the penalty for our sin. And as your word says, true love is this, that a man would lay down his life for his friends. Lord, we thank you for your love for us. Lord, thank you that we can reflect this morning on that. I just pray these things in your name. Amen.
Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me."
I want to thank you again for this time, hearing the different passages on what you've done for us and your grace, your forgiveness. Lord, we want to thank you for your willingness to shed your blood for us. It's so much bigger than what our minds can even comprehend, but thank you for giving us your word so that we can know how to have eternal life. And thank you for how simple you've made it for us, that just by believing in you, believing that you are who you say you are, we have eternal life, and that we can be sure of it because you said it. We just ask you to bless the cup as we pass it around as well. In Jesus' name, amen.
In the same way, after supper, he took the cup, saying, "This cup is a new covenant in my blood. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me." For whenever you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Let's stand together and we'll close in a word of prayer. Lord, as we stand, we know that we bow our heads before you. You are our King. We want to represent you rightly. We want to honor you in our marriages and the raising of our children. We want to give you all the glory. And so, Lord, we need your daily enablement as we recognize, Lord, that without you we are nothing. And so we stand here in gratitude. knowing that we're forgiven and that we've been granted access into your presence by faith. And so as we petition you, as we praise you, as we ask you to help us to undertake for those that we love, we stand in confidence knowing that you hear us and that you long to meet us where we are. Pray that you'll help each one in this coming week, and we anticipate, Lord, your soon return. We know it can be at any moment, and we want to be found faithful. Thank you for each one here today. May we love one another deeply from the heart. In Jesus' name, amen. Greet each other with a holy handshake. Lord bless you.